everybody, Paul Brooks here. Welcome to another episode of B-Movie Mania Interviews. Today I'm talking with Catherine Coldiron, who not only has a cool sounding name, but she also has a new book coming out. Catherine is the author of Plan 9 from Outer Space, and it's part of the Midnight Movie Monographs series from PS Publishing. The book is available to pre-order right now, so if you listen to the interview and you're interested in picking one up, which you should, head on over to bmoviemania.com and we'll have a link to pre-order the book, as well as links to Catherine's website and all sorts of good stuff. I had a great time talking to her about Plan 9 and all sorts of different bad movies and B-movies. So here it is, my interview with author Catherine Coldiron.
It's B-Movie Mania!
Catherine Coldiron, welcome to B-Movie Mania. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Awesome. So, first of all, I love the book. Can I just let you know that you were gracious enough to send a PDF my way, and I have been reading it. I'm not all the way through it, but I am very much enjoying it. So congratulations on writing the book.
Thank you.
And I wanted to start by just asking you kind of how you initially got into Ed Wood and how you got into Plan 9 from Outer Space in the first place.
I don't know when I started watching bad movies. It was probably sometime in my high school years, which was when Mystery Science was ending its run. Sorry, Mystery Science Theater 3000 was ending its run. My father and I used to watch it together on Sunday mornings. And at the same time, he was building up this really, really huge, really eclectic DVD collection. And it had everything from La Strada to They Saved Hitler's Brain. And so I don't know if we watched these bad movies together or if he watched them and I came into the room now and then or what, but a sort of strong fandom of Mystery Science eventually led me into a strong fandom for bad movies generally. I don't know why this is, but when I first heard about the Midnight Movie Monographs line of books, I thought, okay, well, what movie could I possibly write 100 pages about, like, that I could just analyze for that long? And the answer that popped into my mind immediately was Plan 9 from Outer Space. I think the reason for that is that it is such a perfect bad film. Everything goes wrong in it. Everything that could possibly be wrong with the medium of cinema is wrong in Plan 9 from Outer Space. And that doesn't mean that it's, you know, that you have no affection for it. You do. It's kind of hard not to like this movie, but you can still acknowledge that it's terrible. And I wanted to kind of split open that reception to say, okay, this movie is objectively bad, but it's also terrific to watch. What is that about? And that was why I wrote it. And in the process, I learned an awful lot about Ed Wood, watched the rest of his movies, you know, everything that I could get aside from the Nudie Cuties, because I don't really care about those. And I started actually working on a bigger project on bad film, of which Plan 9 is just one of the movies that I'm examining. It's the one that I've examined at the most length. But all of these other movies I've written essays about, and eventually it's going to come together into a much longer collection. But in the meantime, this monograph is it's a real treat to have written it and to have it coming out into the world.
Well, that's great. That was definitely going to be one of my other questions for you, is whether or not you plan on doing more of these. So I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah, it's a lot more. I think my last count was 7 or 8 movies that I'm going to be writing about other than this one.
Wow.
Yeah, I can list them off if you want.
Please.
Okay, so I wrote about a series of 1940s films about the teenagers, which was this like 8 movies from Monogram that all starred these full-grown adults who pretended to be teenagers. And there were 8 movies made within a span of less than 3 years, and that itself interested me. So I wrote about disposable film and how that works. I wrote about Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, which I see as a kind of failed, a missed opportunity for a feminist film. I'm yet to write a combined essay about Showgirls and Staying Alive. Staying Alive is the sequel to Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
And it's awful. And the thing that I want to write about there is how when you fill a screenplay with only sociopaths, like, you don't have a movie at all. Oh, I wrote about Ruby, a film from 1977 with Piper Laurie that I love. And I think is sort of a delightful, cheap, campy thing. And Piper Laurie chews the scenery, but she's supposed to. It's great. Another movie from 1977 that has significant fame, Deathbed, The Bed That Eats.
Oh, of course.
Which I think is actually a good movie. So I set out to prove that that's what it is.
You know, thank you for saying that. We reviewed that movie on the podcast last season. I gave it like a 95 out of 100 and everybody thought I was nuts.
Nice. I'm so glad to hear that. I love that movie.
Me too.
Just recently I've decided to add studies of After Last Season and a movie called Girl in Gold Boots that was a mystery science, because I started thinking about how I can write about how the audience receives bad movies instead of just doing critical studies of the movies themselves. And I love Girl in Gold Boots, and I can't explain why, so I wanted to try and write to explain why. And After Last Season is the only movie that I've ever seen that has completely baffled me, that I have no idea how to interpret it or analyze it.
Wow.
So I thought it would be interesting to kind of, I have a degree in film, so I thought it would be interesting to figure out why this movie of all movies stumped me.
That's great. Getting back to Plan 9 and Ed Wood, you know, you just said that you learned a lot about Ed Wood. What is something that you maybe could tell us about the real person that is maybe sort of glossed over in the Tim Burton film, or maybe if somebody doesn't have a deep knowledge of who Ed Wood was, what is something that you could tell us about him?
He was a very sad figure. I think the Burton movie paints him as an optimist and a happy person. And he may have been that way when he first arrived in Hollywood, but over 20 years drinking himself to death, he turned into just a very sad, upsetting kind of human. He also was violent with his wife, which is a little hard to take when you see how in love he and Patricia Arquette are. I think she was violent back. They were both drunks, but it was still sort of upsetting to learn that.
Mm.
That was the main thing, that I felt really sorry for him at the same time as I didn't excuse him for continuing to try and do this art that he had no business doing.
Hmm. So the kind of subtitle of the book is a monograph on bad film. What would you say that you were, or did you have a sense when you started the project of what you wanted to accomplish with this book, what you wanted to say about Plan 9 from Outer Space?
Absolutely, I did. I believe that bad film is not studied enough in film scholarship. I think that it's watching bad film is an incredibly useful way to learn how to make a good film, and also to think about the mechanisms of cinema generally, how they come to us and how they go out of the director's brains, and basically how cinema works depends on art from both sides of the spectrum, good and bad.
It's interesting that you say that, because one of the things that struck me when I was reading the book, and I actually did a screen grab of it, if I could read it, is that okay with you?
By all means, yeah.
You say in the book, some personalities attract to bad movies because they are bullies and like to laugh at the expense of others. Some enjoy watching what happens when things go wrong. But some, and I've grown into this, I doubt I considered it when I first saw Plan 9, want to compare a film going sideways to a film going straight. Plan 9 is terrible in a rainbow of ways, from conception to completion, from technical to tactical. In picking apart all these flaws and mistakes, I can see and understand why good films work. I'm convinced, in fact, that it's easier to understand good film by examining bad film than by examining good film. I thought that was really interesting, and I never quite thought about it in that way, but I completely agree with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that very few people have considered this. I'll give you an example. I'm working right now on an essay for an anthology about Tarantino, and I volunteered to write about Kill Bill. When I started researching Kill Bill, I found out that most serious film scholars, when they write about Kill Bill, they pick one genre or one set of influences to write about. Like, one guy wrote about, and I'm saying guy because literally all the scholars on Tarantino are men. Not one is a woman. One guy wrote about samurai films, and one guy wrote about Westerns, but neither of them wrote about how samurai films are very similar to Westerns. And in fact, maybe one grew out of the other in the 70s. But the main thing that I wanted to point out is that none of these serious scholars are writing about the grindhouse films that influenced Tarantino so strongly, and from which the stew that he pulled all of the stuff in his movies out of and made it look amazing and feel amazing. Like, that's the stuff that's important to him. Yeah, he references Godard. Yeah, he does a lot of work in high-class Asian film, but he also has watched hundreds of terrible movies. And the fact that none of these scholars, either they didn't recognize it or they didn't think it was important. And I think that's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason that I think it's happening is because none of these film scholars have watched hundreds of grindhouse movies. They've stuck to Godard. And so they're missing so much about what he's up to. And that makes me angry. That's like a whole unexplored angle on Tarantino.
That's interesting. I mean, you know, obviously, if you ever go to the New Beverly, I don't know exactly how much of the programming he's responsible for, but you can see some pretty bad movies at the New Beverly. So, yeah, that is obviously his jam.
Yeah, I know that his personal collection is full of shitty grindhouse movies, crappy grindhouse movies.
You can say whatever you want.
but I don't think that a lot of people analyzing him have considered that very carefully.
Hmm. Interesting. You live in Los Angeles.
I do.
Do you ever, if you're just out and about somewhere, do you kind of ever think about where Ed Wood may have been hanging out? Or do you ever go by some of his old haunts and think about him since, you know, he's someone that you've been writing about so much?
No. Part of the reason for that is that I spend very little time in the fancy part of Los Angeles. I pretty much stay in the North Valley because I'm an introvert. So, and when I go downtown, I suddenly am aware of every extra pound on me and every little stitch of makeup that I'm not wearing. So I love visiting Hollywood because I love all of the history in the air, but I also am not so into all the despair in the air.
Yes.
So I don't spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I spent 6 years myself in Los Angeles. I lived in Los Feliz. I lived in Canoga Park.
Canoga Park.
Yeah, so I've kind of gotten both worlds, and you're not wrong about any of that. Walking into Hollywood some nights can be just like, oh my God, what is happening here? You know, it's rough. I think some people have a particular interpretation of the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, and a lot of it is piss and, you know, not fun stuff.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think Hollywood seems like it's going to be very glamorous, but it's actually kind of one of the worst places in the whole, like, the fancy part of Los Angeles that's not the Valley. Echo Park is great. Los Feliz is great.
Yes.
Highland Park is great. But Hollywood is kind of awful. and, like, all the cool stuff is there.
Right.
But
well, kind of.
Yeah. But it also just sucks to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just curious. You are clearly someone who appreciates bad movies, I think, in the same way that I do. So I'm just wondering what some of your other favorite bad movies might be, if you could just rattle off some of them for us.
Sure. Deathbed is a big one. That's, you know, that's one of the ones that I'll recommend to anybody. I'll say, you know, if you want to see something you've never seen before. I mean, The Room is obviously a classic. I really liked watching the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man and trying to figure out what was wrong with it, like why it felt so awful to watch this movie.
Yeah.
When I figured it out, I kind of lost interest in the movie.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if Zardoz counts as a bad movie, but I really like Zardoz.
I mean, it's the greatest movie ever made. So yeah, I don't know if you can say that it's a bad movie.
I mean, I won't argue with you. It's really
okay,
something.
Good.
Golly. I mean, anything 70s, like the 70s gets me right where I want to be. My next project is probably going to be a book on the year 1977 in cinema. And like watching bad movies from the 70s is amazing to me because the best American films of the century also came out in that decade. So the fact that they made so much cheese and so much stupid sex crap and just like I love the contradictions of that decade in film.
That's great. Ted V. Michaels, I don't know how familiar.
Oh, God. Ted V.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
No. Ask me what you're going to ask me.
I was just curious how familiar you were with his stuff. You know, he did like the Doll Squad in the 70s and did stuff, you know, up until the end of his, up until when he died a couple years ago. But he just, for whatever reason, kind of sticks out to me as someone who was making schlocky stuff in the 70s.
Yeah, he was one of the kings of schlock.
Yeah.
I think he did make Girl in Gold Boots, which is one of my very favorites. And one of the only bad movies that I have, not one of the only, one of the handful of bad movies that I have genuine affection for reasons I can't explain.
You know, when you said that movie earlier, I didn't realize that was one that he had. I don't know that I've seen it, actually.
It's, I think, season 8 of MST, but it might be season 10.
Okay.
But it's a great riff. And it's also like, I just love the sort of dirty little movie-ness of it. But actually, I read a book by Rob Hill, The Bad Movie Bible, that really highly recommended The Corpse Grinders. And mm-hmm. I watched it. I actually didn't get all the way through it because I just felt unpleasant watching mm-hmm. the movie. Instead of feeling delighted by it, I felt more like this is gross and I want no part of it. And I felt the same way about Astro Zombies. Like the misogyny in Astro Zombies is so upsetting that I can't enjoy it.
Well, I'm sure that it's not easy to avoid that sort of thing in the 60s and 70s. I'm sure it's pretty prevalent in a lot of the, you know, grindhouse type stuff that's out there.
That's very well stated. And I think you do have to kind of put some blinders on and just, you know, set your feminist self aside and watch the movie and then kind of judge whether it's more normal for the time or the director is expressing some kind of really not okay kind of feelings. I'll tell you one that has come up for me is The Last House on Dead End Street. It's not mm-hmm. Mickles, I'm sorry, but it's for many years was believed to be a snuff film. And it was made by, starring, written by sort of one man operation by this one dude who has so many pseudonyms that I've never remembered his name. But people have said about this movie that it is the most degraded, most disgusting, most horrible Z movie, that there's nothing here that's of value to human life. And it does have a lot of unpleasantness, I will grant. But I really believe that the filmmaker is turning the mirror of exploitation cinema back on the viewer in this movie, kind of like in Funny Games, the way that Haneke is like, haha, you like watching this, don't you? He's kind of like, you know, I may be doing a rape scene with this woman, but you're watching it. And you have to sit with yourself about that. How many of these movies exactly like this, only not so bad, have you watched and not thought about how ugly it is?
Mm-hmm.
And I could be giving him too much credit, but that was my opinion when I watched the movie. And that's someone who couldn't manage to get through The Corpse Grinders. So,
uh-huh.
I mean.
Hmm. There's a movie that came out a couple years ago that I wonder if you've seen, because it kind of, to me, feels somewhat similar. It's called Revenge, and it was done by Coralie Farragut, a French director. Have you seen that one?
I think I've heard of that movie, though. I don't. I haven't seen it, but I think I've heard of it.
Okay. I would advise checking that one out, because that is another one that sort of like turns a trope on its head and sort of makes you look at it from a more female perspective. Violent, you know, kind of hard to watch in a lot of ways, but very well done and very satisfying at the end. I had a group of people over to my place when I lived in Los Feliz, maybe 6 or 7 people, to watch it with me. And it's the only movie I've ever shown where people clapped at the end like they're in a movie theater.
Wow.
Yeah. So I you should check that out sometime.
I'll try. Yeah. Is it a rape revenge movie?
Yeah.
Because I have found myself doing a bunch of research on rape revenge because Kill Bill calls on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone has written specifically about Kill Bill as a rape revenge movie, which to me is sort of obvious, but it's not a, you know, it's not a genre that's very well written about because, yeah, so because it's not very good, so people aren't going to study it. But with the proliferation of female directors, I think in the last 10 years, there's been a lot more films like it and a lot more interest in it, in the genre, I mean.
Right.
So, yeah, I suspect I will be reading about that movie, but no, I haven't seen it, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you know, listen, congratulations on the book. And is there, you know, you mentioned that you have several more of these that you would like to do. I'm sure you have more projects on the way. Like we said, you can pre-order this book. So where can people go if they want to, you know, find out more about you, your social media, or, you know, basically anything that you want to plug?
Okay. Some of the essays that I've written about these bad movies have appeared. My essay about Ruby, my essay about the teenagers, and a third one that's not coming to my mind right now have all been published. But you can find information about that on my website, which is kcoldiron.com. And it sounds like it's spelled, and it's spelled like it sounds, like you wouldn't want to iron your clothes with a cold iron. My Twitter handle is Ferri Frigida, FerriFrigida, I think.
Well, don't worry about it too much, because we'll put links down below to all of this on our website, bmoviemania.com, if you want to go there and check all of it out.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. And the book is coming out. The book about Plan 9 is coming out from PS Publishing. It's part of a line of Midnight Movie Monographs from their imprint, which is Electric Dreamhouse Press. The books all look the same, and they look like this with that on the back. I'm podcast listeners, I'm showing him the book on the video. and it should be out probably in the next month. I'm looking forward to doing a watch along of Plan 9 from Outer Space, maybe on Scener or just through Facebook. I'm not sure which one, but more information about that obviously will be on my Twitter feed and at my website.
Great. Fantastic. I highly recommend checking out the book when it does come out. You can pre-order it right now. I had a lot of fun reading it. I can't wait to read the rest of it. So thank you so much for joining us on the show, and continued success with everything in the future.
Thank you, Paul. I had a great time.
Awesome.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They are touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!